out giving out these scarves.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe I'll go see.
Okay. Copies of the old money, pay me home, how it's supposed to be pronounced? Because Bob said he could. I'm sorry?
No, only in the slide.
All right. Because Bob's going to help.
Okay.
He's going to sing.
All
right, I think. Welcome. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. We come with questions. We come with ideas. We come with confusion. We come with doubt. We come with hope. We come with hunger. We come with need. We come together to worship. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. We are Eric and Lynn Carricker, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you're with us online or on site, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC and the broader community. If you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming all people of sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. There is a playground here, a playground. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care today as well as the playground. So, and Sunday school will restart again in September.
So as we prepare to light the Christ candle, I invite us all to just settle in right now, just settle into this beautiful present moment where the Holy has been waiting for us. And I find a good way to settle into a present moment is to take a nice deep breath. So take a nice deep breath with me, in through your nose and out through your mouth, and you begin to feel yourself relax and soften. And take another deep breath. You are breathing in the breath of life that renews you and sustains you at all times. Your shoulders relax, your jaw becomes looser, your facial muscles soften, and you may experience a smile that crosses your lips. Once there was someone who said such wonderful things and did such amazing things that people wanted to know who he was. And one day he said, "I am the light." And the light that was in that place at that time is now in all places at all times. Eric, will you please light the light of Christ? Sometimes we need a little help lighting that light.
I do.
Yeah, I do too. A poem from my good friend Hafiz. You have been given an invitation to meet the friend. Nobody can resist the divine invitation that narrows down our choices to just two. You can come to God dressed for dancing or be carried on a stretcher to God's board. So welcome. If you're a dancer or you need to rest, welcome here.
Please join me in the call to worship. Wherever we go,
let's choose the path of love.
No matter who we travel with,
let's choose the path of love.
Even when we are lost,
let's choose the path of love.
As we gather for worship this morning,
let's choose the path of love.
Please join me on the opening hymn. It'll be verses 1 and 6 of Bring Many Names, number 6 in the hymnal.
Thank you. seated. Our centering prayer this morning is Reverend Gretchen Haley. Her words invite us to feel the way in which we are connected. And so, wherever you are, with others or alone, as we begin in silence, stretch your senses to feel all that binds us together. Let us pray. Know only that you are loved, that you are safe and whole and loved. Know that you belong here, here among us, here upon this earth, in your body. However tired or broken your heart may be, whatever fear, disappointment, anger you carry for this hour, you are not alone. Feel the presence of others surrounding you, breathing beside you and with you, discovering today the way our voices rise and fall together in harmony, in hope. Claim here a resilient freedom, the choice for love, for light, to live with joy and gratitude and praise as a form of resistance, as we saw demonstrated in the life and death and life again of the one who taught us to pray, saying,
Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Just a warning note, after we do the sharing of the peace, rather than calling us back the way we usually do, I'm going to be playing a little song by Deva Primal and Mitten called In the Light of Love. So if we're gathering and you're expecting me to read or do something, I'm going to be strumming something, feel free to join in after we've done it a couple times. So I just want to give you a heads up. The Gaelic blessing proclaims, deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the gentle night to you, deep peace of the Christ to you. May you know that deep peace, feel that deep peace, and share that deep peace as we offer it to each other. God's peace be with you.
Deva Primal and Mitten.
In the light of love, we are home. In the light of love, we are home. In the light of love, we heal and sing. Thy will be done. In the light of love.
I'll do it a couple times.
In the light of love, we are whole. In the light of love, we are home. In the light.
Our sacred texts today are two of our favorite texts. One is the Prayer of Peace, also called the Prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine creator, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to your beautiful eternal life.
The next greeting is the Bodhisattva vow by an 8th century Buddhist monk and poet named Shantideva. May I be a protector to those without protection, a leader for those on the journey, and a boat, a bridge, a passage for those desiring the further shore. May the suffering of every living creature be completely cleared away. May I be the doctor and the medicine, and may I be the nurse for all sick beings in the world until everyone is healed. Just like space and the great elements such as Earth, may I always support the life of all the boundless creatures.
As we gather together in community prayer today, I would like to just say a little word for the kids. I don't think there are many here, but there's one there. I saw one or two. So if you're sitting with your parents, you're on stage, you're up in the nursery, just give a good listen, all right? You know, whenever I come into a wondering space, and this is a great wondering space for me, I wanted to ask you, do you ever talk to God? Do you? I mean, it's great. It's called prayer, but there are so many things about prayer besides just talking to God. And I want to let you know from my own life experience, because I've been around a while, that you can talk to God anytime, day or night. In fact, I do that all the time. And there are two prayers that I say a lot. And actually, I got one in my pocket here, just in case I forget. This one's great, because when I'm feeling anxious or nervous, like I am now, I'll say, please help me. Or if I'm angry or sad or things aren't going my way, it looks like a really gray day, I'll take that prayer out and say, please help me. But there's also another prayer. I have it in my other pocket. Eric, do you have any prayers in your pocket?
Well, I already pulled something out, yeah.
You did what?
Want me to read it?
Yeah, let me see.
Help me, please.
Oh, you have the same prayer.
Yes.
That's great. You can use it any time.
Amazing.
So this other prayer is another easy one. Thank you. Wow. So when I'm in a dilemma, I have a problem, I take a deep breath. Well, I try to remember to take a deep breath, and I say, please help me. Thank you, for the help is always there. And it's very simple. And, you know, I'll tell you something. God is the best listener, really. Just the best listener, because God cares about everything we say and cares about our lives, no matter what, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I wanted to let you know that God has a best friend, a BFF. You know what that is, best friends forever. And do you know who that is? That's you. You are God's best friend. It's wonderful. And God loves being with you every single moment of every day, no matter what kind of a day it is. And God cares about what you say, everything you say. So I say, right now, because I'm a little nervous, I say, please help me. And I say, Thanks. Thank you. And that makes me think, if we listen closely to our prayer, and when we're taking that deep breath and we're quiet, I wonder if we can listen and hear something. So if you can be really quiet with me, I'm going to see if I can listen. If God responded to that, please help me. Oh, well, here it is. I love you to the moon and back and beyond. That's what I'm told. That's what we're all told. And it's going to be a good day. Thank you for joining us. So now I've got to take a sip of water here. Please, thank you. So let's gather together in prayer today. We're going to do it a little bit differently today, this community prayer. We're going to do a universal loving kindness prayer. Some people call, well, the Buddhists call it metta, which means loving kindness. And I often pray this prayer a lot. We're going to sing it today. And we start the prayer with ourselves, because the prayer for ourselves has so many blessings in it that we become a blessing in the day and can carry it out with whatever we're doing for that day or the week. So it's probably a good idea to say it every day, because every day has so many different challenges. We'll sing it. Eric will lead us. Sometimes when I say this prayer, I put my hand on my heart to hold who I'm praying for close, or the situation I'm praying for close. And I also have brought my beautiful singing bowl with me. And the singing bowl will help sing the prayers out to where the blessing is needed. Eric, you want to do just the first verse now?
Sure. May I dwell in the heart. May I be free from suffering. May I be healed. May I be at peace.
So let's all take a nice deep breath, a cleansing breath of the breath of life that sustains us and holds us during the day. We will pray for ourselves first, and then as we pray, our heart becomes bigger and we are able to hold more. So we will hold our family and friends. We will hold our community and our country and the wider world.
May I dwell in the heart. May I be free from suffering. May I be healed. May I be at peace.
And the prayer and the breath blessing grow and expand. So let's include our family members, our friends. Maybe there was one person or one situation that you'd like to hold in this blessing space.
May you dwell in the heart. May you be free from suffering.
We expand the prayer out to take in our community, the wider community, and our whole country that's in need of such a blessing this day and every day.
May you dwell in the heart. May you be free from suffering. May you be healed. May you be at peace.
and the prayer and the blessing grows out into the whole world, all of creation.
May you dwell in the heart. May you be free from suffering.
Please help me. Thank you. Well, it was 2022. We were in the midst of COVID, and the kids gave me a wonderful birthday present. It was a course I had been looking at for a few weeks, but it was a lot of money. And I thought, well, geez, don't think we can afford that. And it was for a whole year. It was well worth it, actually. It was a course where we studied the mystics of all different faith traditions. So it was rich. It was rich in studying them, but rich in building relationships, even virtually. And at the end of the course, one of the teachers, one was Andrew Harvey, who's a renowned author and spiritual teacher and translator, and the other was Mirabai Starr. At the end of the course, Andrew said, "Well, I'm going to India. And anybody would like to come, we'd love to have you join us. And the place we're going is an incubator for enlightenment." Well, I'm telling you, I go, whoa, I want to go. He said, "And your lives will change. Your lives will never be the same." So I went and told Eric. He said, "Oh God, let's go." So the end of June 2023, we boarded a plane and went to the other side of the world. I had really never been any place like that before. We traveled to Ladakh, India, which is at the base of the Himalayas, and to say that our lives were changed is an understatement. For about 5 days into the pilgrimage, Eric began to really have some serious health issues. We thought in the beginning it was like kidney stones, which is a rough road anyway. But when we returned, Eric learned that he had a rare form of stage 4 prostate cancer. So to say our lives were changed is like, oh God, I can't even tell you. But Eric's received treatment, his surgery, radiation, and even the most recent test a few weeks ago showed everything was looking good. And he does look good, doesn't he? So you ask, did this pilgrimage change us? Did it inspire us? Did it deepen our faith? I have to answer yes to every single one of those questions.
When I went to India, I wasn't expecting anything physical. And I didn't know much about, if anything, about Buddhism. But I quickly came to appreciate that the teachings of Tibetan Buddhism, at their core, are remarkably consistent with the teachings of Christ in terms of selflessness, in terms of compassion, in terms of doing unto others. So I tried to have an open mind. I think I have a fairly open mind in terms of that there are multiple pathways to God, but I think we experienced it for real. When we were in India. It started when we went to the Hemis Monastery in Ladakh. Now, Hemis is probably one of the most famous monasteries in Ladakh. And it's reputed to be, according to disputed scholars, including one called the Lost Years of Jesus, a place where Jesus went during those lost years and actually preached before he actually came back to Israel and did his now famed preaching in life. But while we were there, I was already starting to experience symptoms, again, what we thought was kidney stones, and so I had a lot of plumbing issues. And so we were there at the monastery, and Andrew had a teaching, and we came back down to this gorgeous monastery. And I said, Lynn, well, before we join the others, I've got to go to the loo. Came back out, we joined hands, walked down the stairs, and the monastery is up. I mean, it's already at about 12,000 feet, but in order to get to the monastery, there's a parking lot, and then you walk on multiple steps to a prayer wheel, and then you walk more steps to get to the monastery, and you got more steps. But anyway, we came down, and we didn't see anybody at all. And I said, well, that's odd. They must be waiting up, you know, higher up or down in the parking lot. So I walked down to the parking lot, didn't see anybody. Walked around everywhere, didn't see anybody. And it quickly became apparent that for whatever reason, we had been inadvertently left behind. Now, you know, this was sort of ripe for chaos, ripe for trauma, but it was the weirdest feeling because we went back up to the prayer wheel halfway between the parking lot and the monastery and just sat, looking out over this beautiful vista. And I had two feelings. One was something big and not necessarily pleasant was going to happen in my life. It was a foreboding. But at the same time, I had this incredible peace, tranquility, just a feeling that I was relinquishing control and it was okay. It was gonna be okay. So it was an incredible feeling, peace. Beyond my control, beyond my understanding. We'll get back to that scene because there was more that happened after that, but I want to get back to it.
So this was a journey of our hearts. And there were times there that I felt as though I had walked right into the heart of compassion, the great heart of us all, the holy of all holy names. And of course, that name for me is love, unconditional love, and ever-expanding, evolving love, and all-inclusive, you all belong to me kind of love. A love that is so exquisite, it has no measure. Eric and I both experienced it. It's hard for us to find words. Sometimes tears are the only thing that well up in us, and it's not a sadness, it's just, I don't know, we just become overwhelmed with a sweet presence. Here I go. And we experience this sweetness, this presence every day if we keep our minds, our eyes and ears and hearts open. And it changes us. It changed us because we try every day to live in a more loving way. We try to live with greater humility, greater gratitude, and generosity. Most of you know that my foundational faith is Christianity, and this journey, this pilgrimage, widens Christ's arms so wide that, you know, they take in the whole world. And as I study other faith traditions and talk to people about their own personal beliefs, I come to understand that all paths of love and compassion are lit with this exquisite love and held by the hands of grace that never let me go, never let any of us go. I want to say that again because it's so important. They never let any of us go. Thank you.
The spiritual leader of Tibetan Buddhism is the Dalai Lama, who, according to their tradition, is reincarnated because he was the Dalai Lama before. And he has many, is still active. He basically escaped tyranny in China at great risk to himself and became the leader in exile in India. And is still currently revered. In fact, where we were in Ladakh is his summer home. He's got a winter home in lower, you know, more central India, but we were actually there and to see his summer home. The Dalai Lama has taught that compassion must be based on respect for the other and on the realization that others have the right to be happy and overcome suffering just as much as you. We went to his summer home. Lynn had been there with the group when I was staying back with my medical issues. And then after, it was apparent that we were not going to be able to continue with the rest of the tour guides very graciously said, well, what would you like to do? And I said, I'd like to see the Dalai Lama's summer home. So he obliged, and we went, and I had heard from Lynn what their experience had been, but I went with an open mind when they went into his bedroom, which is very simple, very austere, and where apparently the Dalai Lama spends hours every morning in meditation and prayer, including prayers for forgiveness for China. And the minute I walked into the bedroom, I was just overcome with this presence of the holy. The divine presence was almost knocked me over. And the coup de grace was, as I was standing there, just wondering if I could even stand up, there was this inner voice, and it wasn't my imagination. And it basically was, in him I am well pleased. The presence of the holy was there, and it seemed to be everywhere. Love and compassion followed us. Now, I left you at the Hemis Monastery where we were stranded, and needless to say, even though we were calm about it, we had no idea what was going to befall us. Nobody spoke English that I could ascertain. I mean, the monks didn't. We checked our cell phones. They just didn't work. They were too far away from the capital of Ladakh. It lay. And so rather than sit where calmly on the by the prayer wheel, I said, well, we got to do something. And so I went down, and there was this little stand where somebody was selling treats, snacks, whatever, to anybody who was there. Anybody who was there typically was people visiting the monastery, but more significantly, monks in training who were as young as 6 years old. And so I went up to him, I said, well, here's the start. And I said, do you speak English? And he sort of mumbled a few words, but he was very busy. You know, he just didn't have time to interact. I said, well, we're stranded here. You know, we're trying not to be too panicked. And I said, our phones don't work. And he said, well, I have this phone. In sort of broken English, would you like to try it? And I'm just like, oh, okay. And the next thing I know, I hear this voice behind me. Can I help you? And I wheeled around, and there was a middle-aged woman in a biker outfit, all leather, perfect English. She was Dutch. And I said, yes, please. And so I told her our story. I said, look, you know, and she said, well, here. Gave her the phone number for the tour. She had service. She called them. Turns out that they were about an hour or two away. They had already gotten to where they were going to go for lunch. And when they got out of the vans, it turns out, and our tour guide, bless him, I mean, he was just an angel, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it was his first tour. And so rather than counting people, they were going by, is everybody here that you recognize kind of thing. I don't remember what he did, but obviously he had messed up. And they were aghast, obviously. So she comes to me, she said, well, I've arranged everything. We're gonna give you a ride back.
And oh yeah, I have to stop, Eric. So I'm sitting there looking at the prayer wheel and the beautiful mountains. I think, oh my God, this is great. Even if I have to spend the night, I mean, I'll be in a monastery praying with monks 24/7. I mean, that's pretty nice. So then Eric comes back and he said, well, honey, I got a ride. I'm a little disappointed. Oh, okay, but there's a hitch. What's that? Well, we're gonna have to ride on motorcycles. I go, oh my God, Eric, I'm 77. I don't ride motorcycles anymore. And then,
it turns out that she had led the tour in the back seat of a car with two people in the front seat. So she agreed to relinquish her back seat in this small car, and she rode on the back of one of the motorcycles. All the rest were motorcycles, and we hopped in the back of the car. She was our angel. It was amazing. I still marvel at how that whole scenario. I can't believe it happened. There were other instances though. As the tour progressed, I'll take you forward in time where it was clear to me I really had serious plumbing issues. And so Lynn was going ahead with the tour. And so we went off to another vantage point, another hotel, if you will, in more distant mountains, and they went off. And I said, look, I can't do it. I can't go with you. And by the time she came back that afternoon, she said, well, Eric, how are you doing? I said, I'm not doing well at all. I could not void. I was nauseous, I was dizzy. I felt as if I, you know, had all sorts of poisons floating around. I was in tough shape. And to the bless them, this tour guide, the one who I just admonished, this tour guide, in the middle of the night, commandeered one of the vans, went down, took us at night down the side of a steep mountain, down to what was an emergency room. It was basically a shack on the side of the mountain that had some staff, had no toilet except a hole in the floor, no running water, no soap. And we were thinking, oh. And of course, Lynn, being a retired nurse, was thinking, oh. But there was a doctor there. He had been trained in India. He knew what to do. He did it. He inserted a catheter and resolved, at least temporarily resolved my plumbing issues, and it was just, it was amazing.
When Eric and I couldn't any longer travel with our new friends, our group, we stayed behind, and the Ladakhi people, the village people, offered us respite and food in just the most beautiful of ways. Love and compassion was so embodied in these people. I mean, the Buddhists say that the tenet is kindness, and they embody that in every moment. But it seemed to me like love, love and compassion, the embodiment of the holy, was everywhere. It was flying in these prayer flags that hung over people's doors and the stores, that hung from mountaintop to mountaintop. I'll never know how they got the flags up there. And as the wind fluttered through the flags, it carried the prayers to where they needed to be. It was also embodied in you. I say this because I'm not a techie person, as most of you know, but I did have that WhatsApp on my phone, and I was contacting my good friend Linda. So, and the first few days, oh, it's great, wonderful. And then, you know, things started to happen, and she was there, and you were there, because she said, Lynn, can I send out a prayer request? Oh, please do. Because sometimes it's just really hard to pray by yourself. It really was. So thank you for that. And love and compassion was also embodied in the monasteries. When we'd walk into these small little prayer rooms, you could feel the devotion of all the hearts that had gone before us, hundreds and hundreds of years before us. And I prayed like I had never prayed before, that all would be well, that all manner of things would be well. And we found it in these sweet little orphan children when we visited the Tibetan Children's School. And they placed these welcoming scarves around our necks like you have today. It's also called a blessing scarf, called a kata. And at the end of our sweet visit with them, we went to return it to them. And they said, oh no, no. You can only return the blessing scarf when you give a blessing to another. So we've kept them on. So I hope you find some blessing here today, and when you take it with you, may you return the blessing to another today.
And love and compassion were also embodied in chants. I'm sure many of you have been exposed to this sort of deep guttural sound coming from Tibetan monks, and we're going to actually replicate that for a while today, because it's not just the sound, there's a religiosity, if you will, the spirituality connected to this particular Buddhist practice, one which was and is led by the Dalai Lama, this particular chant. Bob Sniffen has graciously agreed to help me because it's so low that sometimes I don't get the low note with much volume. And I'm just going to, it goes something like this, and then I'm going to do it with guitar. Om mani padme hum, Om mani padme hum, Om mani padme hum, Om mani padme hum. And as you'll see, the pronunciation is nowhere the way it reads. It looks like Padme Hum. But this is the correct Tibetan Buddhist pronunciation. So
these are Sanskrit words, and it is said that they hold a special energy, a vibration, so that when you say them or chant them or sing them with a devotion and sincerity of heart, they can change us. They can purify our hearts and our minds. And in this day and age, that's a really important thing to have help as. The literal translation of that chant is, the jewel is in the heart of the lotus. The jewel is the jewel of compassion. The heart is our heart. And the lotus flower, we are the lotus flower coming up through all the muck and mud of life into the light where we are blossomed into something so, so beautiful. So we usually sing the chant. Now, this is where I'm going to have to ask you to, you know, toughen up, because we sing the chant 108 times. And you may say, whoa, that's a lot. It is. And They say you do it 108 times, for the ancients say we have 72,000 pathways in our body, and they all lead to the heart. And there are 108 major junctions in those pathways. So that when we sing or chant or say this beautiful chant of compassion, the energy of it becomes balanced within us. We'd like you to invite you to sing it with us. So, and Bob, you want to come up here and join Eric? You don't have to. If you just want to stay in the back, that's okay too. And don't worry, I'm going to count 108. I'll count 108 and 8 times.
Because I can't count and play at the same time.
Yeah, sure.
All right. At the end of the chant or the prayer, we will just say amen or the universal sound of the divine, which is Om, and then we will rest just in that sound as it weaves its beauty into us.
Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum.
His Holiness the Dalai Lama said, compassion, loving kindness, and altruism are the keys not only to human development, but to planetary survival. He said, this is my simple religion. There is no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. My philosophy is, be kind whenever possible, and it is always possible. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of this morning's offering, may the money that we give be a sign and a symbol of something even more important, the compassion we will give to the world. This morning's offering will. Prayer of Thanksgiving by Meister Eckhart. We should not thank you for your infinite generosity, God, or because you love us so, but thank you that you are so good that you cannot do anything else. Our closing hymn is number 46, Blessed Are They, verses 3 and 4. Yeah, number 406 in the hymnal. Are you?
bless and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they who search for peace. They are the children of God. Blessed
now, may God, our loving Creator, bless you and keep you.
May God's magnificent face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
May you be happy.
May you be well and safe.
May you be peaceful and at ease.
May you know love.
May you be love.